Joshua chapter number 1. We have been several weeks in this chapter. If you have been hit and miss with us, I'm sorry. One truth builds upon another, and none of these lessons will be as valuable individually as it would be collectively, but I trust God be able to speak to all of our hearts this morning. The book of Numbers, we saw the children of Israel in the wilderness. They were enjoying God's blessing and provision, but without enjoyment of the promised inheritance. Make no mistake about it, God's people were provided for marvelously in the wilderness. He fed them every morning, He fed them every night, He clothed them, He protected them from their enemies. In fact, as we saw on Thursday night, in the wilderness they had clothing, they had bread, they had water, they had flesh to eat. The only thing they didn't have was fruit. There's no fruit in the wilderness. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and meekness and faith and temperance. And you can serve God, work for God, be busy for God, give to God, and bear no fruit in your life as long as you're dwelling in the wilderness, living a carnally-minded life. In the book of Numbers, we have seen that Moses stands representative of the law. The law can govern, but only through fear and threat of judgment. There's not one record from Exodus 20 through the close of Deuteronomy of anyone ever loving Moses. He was not beloved. He was feared. He was honored. He was obeyed, but never loved. That's the law. You may fear God's commandments. You may honor God's commandments. You may keep God's commandments. To be carnally minded and living under law will never produce love in your life for God or man. There's no love in the law. And then we see that Canaan land stands for that place of peace and joy, knowing the full blessings of God's inheritance. And only Joshua, the Bible calls him twice, once in Acts and once in Hebrews, representative of the Lord Jesus Christ, only Joshua can take you into that land of rest and that land of peace. Now, we talked on Thursday night about why this 3 days delay on the wilderness side of Jordan. Look at Joshua 1, verse number 10. And then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, "Pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. And to the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and to the half the tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you rest and hath given you this land." God gave the land, the promised land, Canaan land, to the 12 tribes of Israel. It says, "Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan. Ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them until the Lord have given your brethren rest. So He hath given you, and they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then ye shall return to the land of your possession and enjoy it which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side Jordan toward the sun rising." And we noted on Thursday night, Many people want what the law can give them. They don't want what God can give them. They only want what they can enjoy by the keeping of rules and regulations and standards and commandments. They don't want the liberty and freedom and power and blessing they could enjoy if the Lord had control of their life and they were living under His blessing and control. Verse 16, "And they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us we will do. Whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. According as we hearken unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee." That couldn't have been too encouraging. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment and will not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage. And we saw Thursday night, that's the law keeper. If they don't do right, kill them. If they don't walk like we walk, if they don't obey like we obey, then throw rocks at them. That's the law. That's not Canaan land. And we covered that ground, all of that ground on Thursday night. Now, here's what's taking place here. The Lord is appealing one more time to these 2.5 tribes, pleading with them, giving them opportunity to stop this division. Do not separate yourselves from your brethren so that you can continue to live in the wilderness. I know you enjoy the wilderness. I know you're comfortable in the wilderness. I know that you find a certain measure of contentment in the wilderness. But you are not only harming yourselves and your wives and your little ones by choosing to abide in the wilderness, but you are bringing a division into the national unity of this Israelite nation. The New Testament term for such division is heresy. It is exclusion. And the Word of God has very clear and very pointed things to say about those who find comfort and even a source of pride in their division, in their heretical approach to the Christian life. God never intended for the body of Jesus Christ to be divided. All of these factions and all of these parties and all of these denominations and all of these brands and types and all of these little factions, not within a nation, not within a denomination, but within one little church, that can't possibly be the will of God, not according to any portion of New Testament Scripture. It's not God's desire, it's not God's will. And so what you have here is you have 2.5 tribes. They're just as much the children of Abraham as the other 9.5 tribes. You have Reuben, Gad, and the half tribe of Manasseh. They are equally entitled to the promised land just as much as Naphtali and Zebulun and all the others, but they don't want it. And so rather than allow the Lord to change their heart's desire and fill them with a longing for God's promised blessings, they will divide from their brethren so that they can stay carnally minded. And before this thing's through, they end up justifying the whole thing because Moses said we could do it. Listen, the fact that God allows you to do something, the fact that God doesn't punish you every time you step out of line, doesn't mean He's okay with it. And it doesn't mean look, I keep saying this, I don't know how I can get across to you. If you're saved and born again, God is not going to punish you every time you sin. But your sin will bring with it its own punishment. It's not that God, well, I did that and God didn't do anything to me, so... Yeah, but watch what happens over the next 5 years as what you did deals out its recompense in your life. The carnally minded individual says, I did it, and nothing happened within the next 6 hours, so I'm okay. That's the carnal mind. The spiritual mind looks to the Word of God and says, why would the Lord warn me not to do that if it wasn't going to hurt me? Why would God plead with me not to go in that direction if it wasn't going to cost me something? I might get away with it today. I might get away with it tomorrow. It might not catch up with me for a year. But I've got sense enough to trust God and not go that way. Oh, the carnal mind never thinks things through. I can do it. I can get away with it. See, I did it and nothing happened. That's how people live. And then 3 years down the road when their family falls apart, or 5 years down the road when their spiritual life's completely wrecked, they come to the preacher, I don't know what's happening, preacher, everything's going wrong, and I don't know what I did. What you mean is you can't see anything in the last 24 hours that would have caused the roof to cave in. You've been living a pattern of disobedience. You've been walking a wilderness walk for years, and it finally caught up to you. But because you're carnally minded and can only see 24 hours in either direction, you don't know what happened. And I'm telling you, this thing of division, the New Testament wouldn't be filled with warnings against it if it wasn't harmful to a church, to a family, to an individual. Turn your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We'll deal with three things this morning: division, heresy, and exclusion. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. First of all, the desire of the Lord. If you read the 16 chapters of 1 Corinthians, you will find a catalog of sins, horrible sins that are going on in that church. And the Lord sets all of them on the back burner until He deals with what He considers to be their greatest problem: division. Before God dealt with fornication, He dealt with division. Before He dealt with lawsuits, He dealt with division. Before He dealt with marriage problems, He dealt with division. Before He dealt with drunkenness at the Lord's Supper, He dealt with division. You probably wouldn't rank it that high. Why, if you said there's some people in this church speaking in tongues, and there's some people over here in this church and they're living together and they're not married, and there's some people over here, you'd say, man, we got to deal with those things. The Holy Spirit, Paul took his pen in his hand, the Holy Spirit said, let's deal with this first. They're carnal babies. How do you know they're carnal babies? Because they can't get along with each other. We can't deal with any of the rest of it until we deal with that. Because if you don't love me and I don't love you, I can't help you and you can't receive help. And you can't help me and I can't receive help. Because all we're going to do is bow up. Isn't that right? And so the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 10. Now, I beseech you, brethren. 1 Corinthians 1:10. Now, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Now, listen, you can't pretend, I can't pretend that I am in God's will if I'm at odds with you. So why don't we just stop right now and repent of deceiving ourselves if we have been. If you're cross with me, if I'm cross with you, if you're bitter against me,